Hey guys, it's Kiki, and I'm here to review season 5, episode 12 of OWN's Ready to Love. It's the season finale, and it's entitled One Last Assignment. Y'all, we have made it to the end of the regular season episodes. It's been a journey, and I only got one thing to say. Y'all, let's get into the episode. So first, we meet up with Sydney and Phil. They are having a date. Sydney wants to speak to Phil about the situation with Shiloh. I'm still thoroughly confused on it. And I think the majority of social media feels like, although Shiloh was warranted in not wanting to be touched, her alignment with Phil picking her up and then the alignment of him not wanting to move forward with her or give her a firm answer on if he wanted to be with her, I think we're all pretty clear that those two things did not match the actions and the words that were said. But I'm not getting into that again. Sydney and Phil, they're just like, oh, you make me feel this way. Oh, I like you. But now it's time to have a serious conversation. So Sydney tells Phil about the ladies' lounge conversation. And Phil says that he stands firm in what he did. He knows it was wrong, but it bothers him that Shiloh is hurt and that he needs to have a conversation with her. This scene was obviously shot before the final conversation with Shiloh, but Shiloh's entitled to feel how she wants to feel, y'all, regardless, even though she's wrong. But Sydney basically reassures Phil that, you know, she knows who he is and she gonna stick beside him because he's never treated her that way. See, this is what I have a problem with. I wish Sydney would have checked Phil for the, listen, I know you meant to protect Shiloh by picking her up, but I'ma still need you to respect her boundaries and respect her words when she says, don't touch me. If she had just said that, I think I'd be fine with it. But it's the pick me bullshit. It's the same thing Naeem was doing when Zadia got physical with Dante. Well, it bears nothing on me because I know who they are and they've never treated me that way yet. They haven't treated you that way yet. But, you know, I'm not going to go back and forth over it. Sydney is going to move forward with Phil and they're sold on each other. Nothing's really going to, you know, change the course yet. We see all the singles, the final 8, reunite at a final brunch. Aisha looked so gorgeous in this royal blue. Like, this is the best a lot of people have looked the entire season. Sydney, Mumin, and Frank are sitting down and just talking about how, you know, Frank is never nervous. Sydney's saying that when she's around the both of them at the same time, she's never uncomfortable. Like, I think because Sydney in her mind has already, you know, she's already chosen that she wants to be with Phil, so she ain't really sweating Frank. And I think it's the same for Mumin. I feel like Mumin knows that Frank is more than likely going to choose her. They're laughing because Sydney is telling them that when Frank met his sister, he was sweating. Like, Frank's like, you know, no situations really get me bothered or get me out of character. And I'm like, yeah, just wait. Sabrina is sitting with Walter. She's asking him once again if he has any doubts. And he's like, no, you know, the universe is going to reveal what it wants to reveal to me. I just think with Walter, he's just laid back. He's never going to stress over anything. He's at that age where if shit happens, it happens. I'm the same way, Walter, now. 33 and dating. I'm not pushing or pressuring any situation. It is what it is. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I'm going to be good regardless. My only thing with Sabrina is she says that Walter has been inconsistent. Sabrina, so here's the track record with Wabrina and Salter. Y'all both want different things. He wants kids. She doesn't want it. Unless she's changed her mind and she hasn't told us, I still don't know why they're pursuing each other. Is it a, we don't have any other options? Like, if he's being inconsistent and he's not a good communicator, why are you still deciding and you're having second doubts? It's causing you to self-doubt yourself. You don't need to be with Walter. You don't need to try to pursue anything. You should get some clarity and sit him down and not just ask these little child-ass questions like, you sure you don't have any doubts? Girl, if he's saying, well, and he's not giving an answer. Walter gives a lot of non-answers. Sabrina, cut your losses. I hope by the end of this, she probably chooses herself. I would hope, because it just doesn't, it's how I felt about Mumin. Like, I feel like Mumin's person isn't on this cast, and I feel like Walter's person isn't necessarily on this cast. Sabrina's person definitely isn't on this cast, but for some reason, they want to see it through to the end. Tommy comes in and he lets them know this is the last time they'll be meeting, but that this week, the fellas will be introducing the ladies to their family. So basically the same thing we got last week. I was like, I know we need to see the men's side of things. I really want to see who Dante is going to bring on here, because if it's someone who's not associated with the 3x3, I don't have time for it. Phil says he is not here for this because his family talks too goddamn much. I feel you on that, Frank. I really feel you on that. Well, the first meeting takes place with Frank and his two cousins, Tony and Desiree. Frank says that he doesn't have any siblings, so they are basically like his brother and sister. First, Sydney arrives. We're going to have separate dates with both ladies. Sydney is asked by his cousin Tony, you know, how do you feel about Frank having female friends and being in the bar scene? Sydney's like, she's not the jealous type, and she doesn't think that Frank would be the type to have her around anybody else that he would be interested or put her in a bad situation. She is asked why she chose Frank. You know, what is it about him that draws her to him? And she says that, you know, he just compliments me. You know, we're just like the same person. And I'm thinking, Sydney, I have a lot of guy friends. We are very, very similar, but I don't think we would be compatible for dating. Just because somebody compliments you in that way, like, and his cousin even says, yeah, you know, a good friendship is the strong foundation for a good romantic situation. And I agree, but you complimenting me, that's not the end all be all. I want something a little different. Variety is the spice of life. Sydney asked the cousins if there's any areas of growth that Frank, you know, needs to, you know, what are his flaws, so to speak. And they're just like, oh, he's flawless. He's perfect. They literally said, oh, Frank's perfect. And Frank's like, oh, thank y'all for having my back. And I'm like, bullshit. Nobody's perfect. If you were perfect, you wouldn't be on this dating show. But Sydney Lee, I like how Sydney assessed this situation. She didn't come in trying to be approved by his family. She used this as an opportunity to be like, is this going to, you know, affect my decision on how I'm going to choose between the two of them? And I like that. I noticed that, because a lot of women, when they meet the family, they're always like, oh, I hope they like me. I want them to like, you know, they go out of the way for the likeness. And it's like, no, you need to sit back and you need to reevaluate if this is a family that you want to be a part of as well. Next, we have Mumin coming to meet his family. Immediately, they're starting in with the questions. You know, how do you feel about kids? Mumin wants 3 kids at most. And she says, although that's important, you know, they need to have a good financial foundation. Good point, Mumin. Mumin's thinking the long game. She also says that she would want her children to be raised in a Christian household. The cousins love that. She asked them if they think that Frank is ready to love. And they're like, yeah, he's always been ready to love. Again, y'all keep saying that, but why is Frank here if he's always been ready to love and he's flawless and he's perfect? His cousin Desiree is like, oh, he's always been ready to love. It's just he hasn't found the right woman. Okay, girl. And then his cousin points out that Frank has like love tattooed on his hand. And I'm just like, I see why my tattoo studio that I go to, they don't do like hand tattoos, because they're like, it heals differently and it takes a lot of maintenance. Yeah, Frank, you need to go get your tattoo redone. But they think he's ready for love, and that they drilled home that Frank needs a woman who's going to support him and support where he's going in life. So Frank is a catch, according to his family. Both ladies leave at separate times from the separate dates. The cousins feel that personality-wise, they like Sydney, but as far as family values, they like Mumin. Frank is just like, I'm just going to sleep on it. Okay, Frank. Next, we're going to see Walter introduce Sabrina to his sister and his aunt. His sister looked like she don't play. She looks very nosy. She looks like, like in a good way. Like she wants the best for him, but she don't want anybody coming in half-stepping. She's trying to ask Walter questions about Sabrina before she gets there. And she's like, well, where is she from? Where is she born? And Walter's like, oh, she's from Virginia. Put a pin in that. Sabrina arrives and they're very taken in by her beauty, how tall she is. They have a feeling they're going to like her. So they ask her, you know, where are you from? And Sabrina's like, well, I was born in Korea. And the sister look at each other like, now, Walter, you just said she was born in Virginia. And I'm like, Walter, this is more a test for Walter than it is for Sabrina to me, because this is going to signify whether Sabrina wants to move forward with him. So strike one, Walter. They ask Sabrina, why has she chosen to, you know, pursue Walter? And she's just like, oh, you know, he just has a good aura from the moment I met him. The vibes are great. And you can tell the sister, you know, the sister is like me with the whole vibes thing. And I'm just like, girl, like, I do believe in good energy, but I don't know, when you talk about it, it has to be talked about with a little bit more maturity. Like, oh, the vibe was there and I was feeling the vibe. It's okay to say there was an attraction. There was a chemistry there. Y'all know how I hate, oh, the vibes, the vibes. The sister is not here for the vibing. Sabrina asked them, you know, how is Walter in relationships? They seem like they didn't want to answer it. They're like, oh, why are you asking us questions? Like, girl, I'm gonna ask y'all, like, I'm tired of the women coming into these situations where they meet the family and the family is presenting the man as perfect. I don't believe y'all. Y'all need more people. But they generally say that Walter is very affectionate. He's very loving in a relationship. And this is popping up as a red flag to Sabrina because she says that Walter hasn't been very affectionate with her. Really? Really? Okay. That's surprising to me. And I think their answers are based on the fact that they have seen Walter date other women, but I think they are still holding, you know, a place of coming from thinking about his wife who passed away. They ask about Sabrina's thoughts on kids. She says she has a daughter. She gave birth to her daughter when she was 47. Now, I thought they would expound more on if she wants to have more kids because Walter wants to have more kids. See, this is where the confusion is coming in for me. But Sabrina's just like, you know, my daughter knows that her mom is attempting to find love. She's seen me go through this before. And I was in a situation where she thought that this man would be in her life as well. So when it comes to her daughter, Sabrina isn't just gonna set herself up for the okie doke. It's a red flag with Walter meeting her daughter because she still has so many doubts about him. She leaves. They seem to have liked her. And his family is just like, so why are you choosing to pursue her? And Walter's just like, you know, we like each other as people. And I think that we could build upon that. That's not good enough for me, Walter. Walter just seems like he'd rather have a colonoscopy than be on this show. And I was saying it a couple episodes ago, Walter peeped the bullshit of the cast on the show. And he was just like, ugh, I already signed my contract. I guess I'll be here. He literally says, whatever happens, happens. And when men say that, I don't know, I just get triggered. When people say that in general, but in a dating format, whatever happens, happens, not good enough for me. Next, we have Dante introducing Aisha to his brother and his cousin. Immediately, you can tell Aisha just looks so beautiful. I might have to give her the MVP of the season. Like, she has consistently stayed true to herself. She has stood up for herself. That's a queen right there. They ask her, you know, why are you in DC? She tells them that, you know, this is where her divorce happened. And after the divorce, she had to learn how to love herself again and learn how to let her children love themselves again, because children often think that they are the reason behind divorce. They ask her what attracted her to Dante. She says that he's funny and he courted her, and she was raised by Southern women, and, you know, men are supposed to pursue you. You know, they go out and work and women stay home, or they can have the option of going out, but a man is supposed to be a provider and a protector. So I believe it was Dante's brother. He's like, well, we were raised by single moms, which is kind of very telling for Dante's 3x3 history, I think. And he is like, our moms taught us everything, carpentry, fishing. And Aisha is like, well, let me clarify. I understand that and I agree with that. But I believe that women should have the option of whether they want to stay home or whether they want to go out to work. But what she prefers for her and her household, while she runs her salon, she wants her man to be a provider. Boom. All right. And Aisha says something that stuck with me. She said, I don't want to be masculine. I want to live in my feminine energy. Yes, that this is where the whole men provide. And because they talked about, you know, splitting bills, and she was like, well, he can take a bill. And the brother was like, well, what about 50-50? She's like, nah, I don't know about 50-50, but I can take a bill or two. Like, I love that she stood firm in her beliefs, because there's always this talk of, and I think even today with people who are, you know, these contestants' age, oh, it has to be all or nothing. Like, the man can provide the woman. No, we can have a great balance, but that does not mean that I have to be masculine, especially when it comes to Black women. Like, if I say I want a man to provide for me, well, you better do this or that. That's, you're not listening when Black women say that. We're not saying that all we're capable of doing is staying in the house and handling the home. We're saying we want the option. Why isn't the option always presented to us? So when she said, I don't want to be masculine, I want to live in my feminine energy, snaps, Aisha, I felt that. And I love how she kind of schooled them, and it seemed to me like the cousin and the brother kind of changed their mind and they saw where she was coming from. I think she passed their meeting with flying colors. I just love Aisha so much. She leaves and they tell Dante that, you know, they really liked her energy. They liked her confidence. And Dante says one of the things that he likes about Aisha is that she's very intentional. And I think that's what attracted me to Aisha on this show in the first place. She said what she came here to do. She said what she was looking for. And despite I've been surprised on who she's gotten connections with, she has never once wavered or changed or dove into the drama. She's always stayed true to herself. And as a Black woman, I very much appreciate that. It's refreshing to see that on television. So shout out to Aisha. Now, do I think Dante could live up to that? I think he has the potential. We still have that final puzzle piece missing. I don't like that no one associated with 3x3 has come on this show to represent him in any way, shape, or form. But it is what it is, child. Next, we have Phil introducing Sydney to his sister and aunt. I already had the feeling like they were going to grill the hell out of Sydney, but I feel like when they saw her, because the first thing they said is, oh, she's pretty. I was like, well, damn, Phil, what kind of women are you used to bringing home to the family? Damn dinosaurs. Sydney, you did look beautiful. I loved your outfit. I just don't know if I would have a little side part exposed meeting the family, but that's just me. I love that Sydney wears what she wants to wear, but girl, you know, a little blazer, that would have been cute too. Basically, they ask, what does Sydney like about Phil? She says that she likes that he has a quiet confidence and that he's calm and that he's very talkative. They're very surprised to hear that Phil is talkative and that he speaks on the phone with her for hours. I'm like, yeah, because Phil has never gotten a woman of Sydney's caliber. That's really what it is. We're keeping it 100. They ask her, well, Phil kind of throws Sydney to the fire. It's like, well, you know, she does have another option. She's seeing someone else. And Sydney gets a little flustered. And his sister was like, well, if you weren't seeing somebody else, would you still be interested in Phil? And Sydney's like, you know what? That's a great question. He's just peaceful. And he calms me. So, yeah, I think I would be with Phil. No, you wouldn't. Stop faking the funk, Sydney. They didn't really show a lot about this date, but the family ends up liking her. They ask Phil if he thinks, you know, really, they ask what Phil thinks about Sydney. But I'm like, they're really asking you if you think you have a shot in hell with a girl like Sydney. Phil says that, you know, he does think it has the potential to be real. And I'm just like, Phil doesn't have a lot to say to Sydney. I just get the vibe that he's, I don't know, like he's thriving in this experiment. And I don't think that if this were the real world that Sydney would even look Phil's way. Nothing to do with physical looks or attraction, but he just doesn't seem like her type. Like, she gives me a different kind of type. And if the rumors are true that she is now dating an NFL player, that's more of the vibe I would get from her. And I couldn't help but think about Shiloh when Phil was sitting with the family, because I feel like his family would have loved Shiloh. I think there wouldn't have been any hesitation, but Shiloh's gone and it's time to move on. So now we have Tommy giving us the season recap as he's walking through DC. No need to really recap that. Next, we're going to have the final date or meetup for the couples where they determine who they want to be with. Okay. Let's go a little out of order. We get Aisha and Dante. I'm not going to recap everything that was said between these couples. I'm just going to tell you guys the results. They choose each other. All right. Better make it work. Next, we have Frank and Mumin. Frank has chosen Mumin as opposed to Sydney. They choose each other. We get Phil and Sydney. They both have chosen each other. Can't wait to see the result of that. Next, we have Walter and Sabrina, okay? They both look really nice. Sabrina came for a fashion moment. Walter says that he chooses her. Sabrina is actually shocked that he has, and she's a little taken aback, but she feels like Walter has always made her feel like a number two, although he has always been her number one. She says that Walter was terrible about communicating with her, barely texted her, barely called her. And she knows what it feels like to be pursued by a man. And this just, it wasn't giving that. She also says that she's just not making a decision for herself, but she has a daughter to think about. And Walter is taken aback. He said that he hadn't spoken to Sabrina since she met his family, the aunt and sister. And he thought it was all good. Just like a man. So Sabrina does not want to pursue anything romantically with Walter. She's fine with being friends. And Walter just has no reaction. Like, his eyes look watery, like he wanted to cry, but I'm like, Walter, this is what we're talking about. Like, we need you to, are you here or not? Like, honestly, I think the final straw from Walter was when they went on that little retreat and he had the argument with Mumin. Like, he just has not been here for the process, and no need to fake it and say that you're gonna choose somebody. So I do respect Sabrina. She kept mentioning the red flag. She kept seeing the signs. So I respect that she just would not want to move forward, even for clout or social media. Camille and Cornelius, you know, even for this television show. And I like the fact that she took that big ass bouquet of flowers. And as she's leaving, Walter's like, call me. And she's like, oh, I definitely will, because your ass don't call. Sabrina, I tip my hat to you. How do I feel about the couples? I think Sabrina made the right decision. Phil and Sydney, I feel, will probably fizzle out. Frank and Mumin look great on paper, but I don't know. Frank, his family kept talking about how he hasn't met the right woman, and I feel like Mumin is the right woman. She's just not the right woman for him. Aisha and Dante, I do actually, out of all of these couples, I see the most potential in them, and I'll be very shocked if we get to the reunion and they're not together. As always, I give my opinion on the entire season overall when I review the last reunion. So you guys, we're going to have to wait for my opinions on that. The reunion preview looked spicy. I like that Tommy. I think it speaks a lot that Tommy isn't even hosting it. Like, they went and got, I believe her name is Tamika Ray. Like, she's a great journalist for these types of shows. She gets to the meat and the potatoes, and I feel like Tommy just was not here for this season. He's like, go ahead and let somebody else host it. Like, I'm done. These people got on my damn nerves. The preview just looked good. There's a lot of crying going on, and it looks a hot mess. And seeing Zadia and Naeem, I guess he's still drinking the Kool-Aid, child. Him and his dashiki. Camille and Cornelius, if y'all have been watching them on social media, everything is done for clout. Again, we'll see next week. Thank you guys for rocking with me through these regular season episodes. I know this season was terrible to watch, but you guys stuck beside me and I'll be here for, I think it's a 2-part reunion. It could be one, I'm not sure, but whatever it is, we will recap, review, and move accordingly, okay? I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at KDASHDIOR. And I also have a Bookstagram account if you guys would like to go follow me, called Brown Sugar Bookworm. Thank you guys so much for listening, and you guys, I'll see you next time for the messy reunion. Bye.